one of our listeners, I heard he said he left downtown D.C., and I think he lives in Frederick, and I believe he said it took him 11 and a half hours.
Yeah, well, I keep telling the story, and I said it earlier, but my poor sister-in-law, who is 7 months pregnant in Gaithersburg, went from downtown D.C. here to Gaithersburg, took her almost 6 hours.
Oh, God, and she's pregnant.
And she's pregnant, and you know, when you're pregnant, your bladder isn't quite as big as it is. I mean, I can't go 6 hours. Right. For goodness sake. So a couple issues. One, of course, the hardest question in any for schools, for OPM, is the snow question.
Exactly.
And, I mean, it's part of comes with that job. It's the most horrible part of that job because no matter what you do, people second guess you.
Every OPM director that I've known, and there have been quite a few, had the same conversation. But I've known John Barry probably 30 years, if that's possible. Back when he worked on the Hill, and I knew him, and just doing him around, he's the perfect man for this job, for the OPM job, the perfect man, and he's a local guy, so he understands how things work. But I told him, and he did not disagree, that many calls as he's going to have to make, that the snow call is the toughest part of the job, and you know, people laugh at that. And I was thinking about the conversation you and I had yesterday, and you were talking about when people want to reinvent government or and whatnot.
Right.
You have to go back and find out why you do certain things. You know, there are reasons why. They may not be good. They may not be valid any longer. And I think one of the things Barry did, one of the first things he did when he came into office, was take a look at this policy, this weather policy, because if you go back to some ancient history, can
sure.
I do that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I did this, went online. January 13th, 1982, I remember that day very well. It was at the Washington Post. We had had a blizzard. The Air Florida plane that was bound from National Airport to somewhere in Florida was delayed on the runway for an hour. There was an icing problem. They later blamed it on pilot error. But the federal government let people go early.
Yeah.
And the Air Florida took off at approximately 3:30, and it crashed into National 14th Street Bridge. Right. Seconds thereafter, it killed 74 passengers, 5 crew, including 4 people who were on the bridge. Now, these people were on the bridge. I think they were federal workers who had been released early.
Yeah.
And they would not have been there. Now, somebody would have been there, but these people wouldn't have been there. And also, there was the subway crashed, too. It was like a double disaster that day. And we had trouble at the Post getting reporters down there. People had to physically walk down to the site, which is 2 miles from the White House. But the point is, after all of the dust settled, and the government reexamined this, and at one point they made a decision, we will never release people early again. Mm. Partly because of that, and in part because, and most people don't know this, Metro drivers, and I assume subway Metro drivers and bus drivers work split shifts, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll work an AM shift, and then they'll go somewhere and do something or rest if they can, and then they come back and do a PM shift. But these things start at regular time, and the rush hour is sort of geared for 3:30 to 7:30 kind of thing. If you move that up 2 hours, you may release people, but they may be with a different carpool. They may have their bus may not be there.
Rock Creek Park. What are some of the other roads that switch directions?
Exactly.
Connecticut Avenue has more lanes.
The traffic
during
lights,
certain times.
That's right. Lights are tough. There's so much that has to be coordinated. And I remember at the Post when they would let government workers go home early, it irritated a lot of our people because we couldn't go home early. So when we got out, the bus that would normally take us home had already gone. It moved up to our. But it's a very difficult call, and you can't, you know, when you hear about somebody 11 hours to get home, that's an absolute nightmare. I can't conceive of it, but it is one of the toughest calls there is. And I have one other point to make, because I have a lot of friends from Chicago, and they're always talking about, you know, the pizza's better, the beer's better, everything's better. People know how to handle weather.
Hot dogs, everything.
Well, I looked it up.
Air's cleaner.
Here in Washington, one word, hills. This is a hilly city, you know, river city. You're either going up away from the Potomac or you're going down toward the Potomac. And unless you're a biker or a runner, you don't really realize this so much. But this is, you know, there are a lot of factors that contribute to this tough weather here and the policies we have.
Well, and my sister-in-law was coming up just where the river, whatever, it's in Georgetown, where the hills, and there were people sliding down the hills.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
it
can be really dangerous. But part of what I was thinking last night as I was listening to just the mayhem go on, mm-hmm. and people sitting in traffic, and I was talking about it on the air yesterday, but I can't, you know, you have to take a deep breath and go to your, happy place. But,
yeah.
That drives you crazy. But hold on, we've also been through 9/11, yeah. where people couldn't get, this is a city where things like that happen. And we still don't seem to have a way of either staggering or some way of getting people out from work to home,
yeah.
on non-off hours. In effective ways.
Well, one thing I did notice, having made fun of Chicago,
yeah.
come back and say how it's a city that really works. One thing is, it's like every other street is one way.
Yeah.
So you know that. And I noticed in rush hour at Chicago, the few times that I've been there, there seemed to be a cop everywhere, and the cop was directing traffic, whether the lights were functioning or not, and we just don't seem to have that here.
So, and now that we said what a horrible job it is, part of what OPM did this morning in telling our sister station and telling us, basically, we're not going to talk to you, this is something that needs to be discussed and you have to come on, and my goodness, they did not. Their PR people did not do them a very good job this morning.
Right, yeah, but John Barry did come on.
John Barry did come on, and God love, and he's, God love him.
Well, often is the case with whether it can be government types, it can be top officials. If you can get to them, everything's
right.
Okay. It's getting past the palace guard.
So did OPM make the right decision yesterday when all said and done?
You know, probably. I heard a little bit of, somebody coming this morning, and they said if people had left when they actually could leave,
right.
they just bolted out the door, and it's staggering it, that it might have gone better, but they think a lot of people, like we all do, you're hedging your bets, they waited thinking that it would be a rush of people to go and they would catch that second wave. So this is one I would not want to have to make that call ever. I can't imagine ever doing it where you're going to get more than 50% approval rating.
Well, and I saw we often in these situations talk telework.
Yeah.
And you often mention telework's great.
Exactly.
If you have power.
Yeah.
I had to go pick up some people who were stranded last night, and the number of trees down, I mean, it was like you know, apocalypse.
Coming in this morning, coming up Massachusetts Avenue, by the way, Big Hill, Mass Avenue, there were two cars fairly near our office here at WFED, and they were flat. They literally looked like sardine cans. These are brand new cars.
Yeah.
Huge tree fell on them. Flam, they're gone. Yet Washington, in addition to being a hilly city, it's a city of exposed wires for the most part. We've got a lot of trees that by law can't be cut, can't be trimmed until they're ready to topple over. And I was trying to do the count this morning listening to WTOP coming in, and by my count, at least a million homes are without power.
Yeah,
including our Scott Carr, your colleague.
Our producer got home
at 1 a.m. to find he had no electricity.
No electricity, and God love him, he is working from home today.
My daughter in Rockville is, you know, without power. I just called somebody. I just returned a call, and I could hear a baby in the background. And this young woman that I was talking to, and I said I hear a baby gurgling in the back, and I thought it would be hers. And she said, yes, my boss is. His power is out, and he brought the whole family to work. And what are you going to do?
I had Emily Jarvis, mm-hmm. Jolie Lee. We had somebody else. We were a packed house last night.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I offered it to you, and you chose not to take it up on me.
Listen, I became a government worker. I left 2 hours early.